हाँ जी हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे राधा गोपीनाथ जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14. Chapter is entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Text number 12. Shivaishyodantam Shivaishyodantam आदित्यं अभिरौति अनलानना मां अंग सारमेयो यम अभिरेभति अभिरुवत्। शिवैश्योद्यन्तं आदित्यं अभिरौति अनलाननाम मामंग सारमेयोयम् अभिरेभति अभिरुवत्। शिवैशोद्यन्तम् आदित्यम् अभिरौति अनलाननाम मामंग सारमेयोयम् अभिरेभति अभिरुवत्। शिवैशोद्यन्तमादित्यम् अभिरौति अनलानना मामंग सारमेयोयम् अभिरेभति अभिरुवत्।
Amen.
convert word meaning Shiva, jackal, Esha, this, Udyantam, rising, Adityam, unto the sun, Abhi, towards, Rauti, crying, Anala, fire, Anana, face, Mam, unto me, Anga, O Bhima, Sarameya, dog, Ayam, this, Abhirevati, barks towards, Abhiruvat, without fear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Just see, O Bhima, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly. Purport. These are some bad omens indicating something undesirable in the near future. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Tam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Navine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are discussing from the chapter The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, Canto 1, Chapter 14. Yesterday we celebrated the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, and this chapter is Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. So, the introduction for so far what's happening here is this: Arjuna has gone to Dwarka to meet Krishna, which he often goes because he just cannot stay without Krishna. But this time Arjuna has gone for a very long time. In some places our acharyas mentioned 7 months to 8 months have passed. Arjuna has gone and there is no news from Arjuna's side. So this there is little concern. What's happening? And now there are these bad omens which Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying. In yesterday's verse we saw Yudhishthir is telling Bhimsen, the left side of my body, my thighs, my arms and eyes are all quivering again and again. I am having heart palpitations due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. In today's verse, Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying, just see, O Bhima, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire. How the dog barks at me fearlessly. Then, continuing on, the verses will go where Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to say much more what he is observing around him. How useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. So on and so forth. So there are like number of omens which are mentioned here in pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yudhishthir Maharaj is mentioning all that, and that gives concern to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj is a very determined and very composed person. He is not an agitated person. Anytime you tell something to him or any situation, he gets agitated. No. Yudhishthir Maharaj is a composed person. And why he is feeling very disturbed? So much so that even Sukhdeva Goswami mentions the symptoms in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam about the omens. So, in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam here, there is a list of many omens here. Some omens are bad, some omens are good. Bad means they may indicate something bad coming. Good means they may indicate some good coming. In Anand Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karanapur, he mentions about what are these omens. Omens can be seen from three places. He mentions omens are seen by indications from one's own body. Omens are seen by indication of expressions of other living entities like we see today. And third is omens are seen in the nature. So in this particular verse today, there are two omens mentioned. She jackal is crying at the rising sun and vomiting fire. And dogs are barking at me fearlessly. Srila Prabhupada, he comments on this incident of Yudhishthir Maharaj seeing omens. He mentions one of the omens very often mentioned in many places is she-jackal crying. Prabhupada also uses in many places the example of jackal to give a story. Prabhupada also mentions about the story of the grape sarsar, that how Srila Prabhupada once mentioned, when devotee was told to do some service and he could not do, he said, Prabhupada, this is not so easy like that, you know, therefore I could not do it. So Prabhupada quoted the story of how jackal tried jumping and eating those grapes, and finally when he could not get those grapes, he said, the grapes are sour. So Prabhupada quoted that story. Prabhupada also quoted that how today's modern civilization, they pose themselves as big, big scholars, but they can't answer fundamental questions of life. And Prabhupada says they are like jackal who became the king of the jungle once. Jackal happened to go to a village to hunt for some prey and happened to, by mistake, fall into a big tub of a dye, a washerman's dye. It was blue in color. So when he came out, he became blue jackal. So he became very afraid and he ran into jungle. As soon as he ran into the jungle, everyone saw and said, oh, a new animal has come, a new animal has come. He must be the king of the jungle. Even the lion also was afraid of this new animal. And Prabhupada said, and the jackal was enjoying the new coveted prize of his life. Everyone was honoring him. Up until the night time, when all the jackals started howling, this new animal also started howling. And everyone in the jungle came to know, oh, he's a jackal, he's not a new animal. So Prabhupada said people, they pose big, big theories, big, big philosophies, but they can't ask, they can't answer fundamental questions of life. So Prabhupada used many examples from jackal's life to prove philosophical points. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, while quoting the verse from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Prabhupada said, The logicians are compared to jackals. Jackals, they are doing, they are howling. So there is a particular sound which is mentioned. Bhew, 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 kari. So jackals are doing bhew, bhew. Similarly, Prabhupada said, these logicians, philosophers, they are trying to propose and explain the theory of creation. And they are doing bhew, bhew. And Prabhupada said, they don't know. They have to refer Mother, the Vedas. And they can understand the philosophy of life. So these people who are doing bhew, bhew, who are comparing their own philosophies, Prabhupada said, next life they will do bhew, bhew. They will become jackals. Start howling. Anyways, now someone may say, what's wrong in jackal howling or crying? You go to villages, in the night time you will hear jackals howling. You go to Mayapur, in Mayapur you will hear jackals crying, howling. So why it is considered a bad omen? See, jackals cry in the night time, seeing the moon. But it's a bad omen here because here it is mentioned the jackal is crying at the rising sun, which is unusual. Jackals crying is not unusual, but jackals crying at the rising sun is unusual, and therefore Maharaj Yudhishthira is worried about it. Also, dogs bark. Now, dogs barking is common, right? Anyone here has no experience of dogs barking? In fact, we are first time when we see a dog, we are afraid whether dogs will bark or not. If it doesn't bark, we are happy. Dogs barking is very common. But the dog is barking at whom? The master. Yudhishthir Maharaj is the king. And dog is barking at him fearlessly. That's a problem. And therefore Yudhishthir Maharaj is not very happy. In the next verse, Yudhishthir Maharaj says, the animals are passing through him, passing near him. So, our acharyas mentioned passing means encircling. So generally, if an animal or you see something which is doing a parikrama on the right side, it is perfect. But here, the animals are seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj and doing a left side parikrama, which is very inauspicious. Now you may say, Prabhu, what is this bad omen and good omen? Why you are discussing so much? Because Maya verse is all about omens, so I have to discuss something on omens. I can't skip that. Anyways, there are so many explanations of omen in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Example, when Jai Vijay fell down from the Vaikuntha and they took birth, they were conceived by Diti in the womb. There is a mention of series of bad omens everyone was watching on the planet Earth. So there is another explanation of bad omens there. Another explanation of bad omen was when Kamsa, when Krishna entered Mathura from Vrindavan and he broke the Shiva Dhanush, the Dhanur, Yajna Dhanush, and Kamsa was very terrified. The night time Kamsa saw bad omens, indicating that he is going to die soon. He saw himself seeing in a mirror. His body was there but head was not there. Without a head, he was watching his own body in the mirror. So bad omen. Then, there is also the bad omen which Daksha sees. When Daksha, because of his pride and not inviting Lord Shiva, Sati becomes very disturbed, angry. She leaves her body and then Lord Shiva becomes angry and Lord Shiva creates Veerbhadra. So when Veerbhadra is marching on Daksha's sacrifice arena, Daksha sees bad omen, indicating his death. When Duryodhana is born, everywhere bad omens. Vultures are screeching, asses are braying, jackals are howling in the morning. Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, abandon your son, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana. He's good for nothing. He's going to bring big problem to your dynasty. If you don't abandon him, he will die nasty. Dynasty. You have 99 children if you remove him. 99 still is a big number. But Dhritarashtra is attached to the first one, Duryodhana. And that Duryodhana became the cause of disruption of the entire Kaurava race. Even to the point of when Krishna came, the last attempt as a messenger of peace, Shanti Dut. It is mentioned, Krishna's peace message was appealing to everyone, including Dhritarashtra, and Dushyasana also was very happy. But it was Duryodhan who was not happy, and he convinced everyone else that this is bogus. So we can see Vidura was right. This guy, abandoning Madhavas, he will cause disruption of the whole dynasty. So there are certain bad omens which are there. Now, in Krishna's own pastimes also, Krishna arranges or takes help of the woman to facilitate his pastimes. Like this beautiful pastime where Kamsa is taking Devaki and Vasudeva on the chariot and is riding to, as a sign of very great love towards his own sister. Kamsa is traveling on a chariot, driving the chariot, and Prabhupada mentioned there was a woman which came and heavenly voice spoke. Prabhupada said, voice of the woman. So why that was indicated? Because Kamsa was going, the plot was not happening properly. Kamsa was supposed to be very treacherous person. How can he become very compassionate like that? So the demigods arranged this plot that the announcement took place. The eighth son of your sister Devaki will kill you. When the plot changes, twist in the plot, climax. So Krishna arranges that for his pastimes. There is also the arrangement of pastime where during Shamantaka jewel pastime, when the Shamantaka jewel was missing, no one knew where it is. Akrura had left Dwarka, absconding, had gone to Kashi. And there are bad omens in Dwarka. And Krishna said, oh, generally there should not be bad omens in Dwarka. Is Akrura there? And everyone should say, Akrura is missing. Where is he? So in this way, Krishna knew all this plot, that Akrura is having the Shamantaka jewel. But Krishna used those bad omens to bring Akrura back to Dwarka. So Krishna also utilizes his omens to bring in his pastimes. Then it is said that Krishna wanted to wind up his pastimes. When he wanted to arrange this Maushala Leela, all the Dwarka Kshatriya men had to go to Prabhashetra, and then there was killing. Yadu dynasty was annihilated. Before that, Krishna arranged bad omens, and it will see all these bad omens, this is not good for us. Let us all go to Prabhashetra, do some yajna, eradicate these bad omens. So Krishna utilized these omens for his own pastimes. Krishna had gone on the forest in Vrindavan one day. That day Balaramji's birthday was there, so he did not go. So Krishna went with his cowherd friends. Then what happened? Suddenly there were bad omens. Mother Yashoda saw, Nanda Maharaj saw. Krishna arranged. Why? Because that day Krishna had jumped into the Kaliya lake, and Krishna had started fighting with Kaliya. But for first initial incident, Krishna was encoiled by Kaliya. And that time Krishna arranged a bad omen so that all the Brajavasis can come on the banks of Yamuna and become frightened, become disheartened. Nanda Yashoda, they will faint, and Krishna will churn their love to the maximum level, and then Krishna will come out of the coils and dance. Krishna could have killed Kaliya or subdued Kaliya within a short time and danced alone, but he wanted to dance with everyone seeing him, right? When you want to perform, you want people to see your performance, right? No one performs a drama when no one is in the audience, right? Anyone can do that? Let's do drama in Shri Radha Gopinath temple from afternoon 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock when no one comes. Temple is closed. Who is going to see this? So Krishna arranges everyone to come, but to bring them, how Krishna is going to bring them? So he arranges his omens. So Krishna utilizes his omens. So in this way we can find that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, every now and then these omens come. Sometimes a Western-minded person, Western person or an Indian Westernized person may think, ye sab kya hai? This is superstitious. This is a belief system. Ye sab purani baate hai. Oh, so you say it's purani baate. You are based your conclusion of purani baate because of your modern education. Okay. You go through Western education system, you go through Western cities, they also have their own superstitions, their beliefs, right? I was reading something, even in Western countries, in many skyscrapers, they don't have 13th floor. Because they consider 13 is an inauspicious number. So they will have skyscraper, but they will not put 13th floor, they will put 14A and 14B. Why? This is an advanced country, Western civilization. 13th floor is not there. Many big airlines in Europe, they don't have 13th row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 14th row. 13th row is missing. In some airlines, 17th row is missing. So the Indians are superstitious. What about Westerners? They also have superstition. Recently, the famous Queen of England left her body, and so many rituals were done. Many of these rituals are very amazing. You hear it? Are you sure they did this? There are some sports stars who only wear one particular number t-shirt, jersey, because they consider it is a good sign, my lucky number. These are modern people. There are some tennis stars who always wear the same shirt when they play final. 10 saal purana shirt pehnenge, lekin wohi pehnenge. So, who is saying that Indians are superstitious? Western people have their own superstitions. So, everyone is carrying some set of belief system, some omen, some superstition. So, Bhagavatam is not some fairy tale book speaking about some superstitious things. These are valid omens. Harishauri Prabhu mentions in his transcendental diary that Srila Prabhupada, he would make sure that he would not travel on a Thursday. He said, we should not travel on Thursday. So Prabhupada had a belief in that system. But Harishwari also mentioned, Srila Prabhupada made sure he did not travel on Thursday, but if something big came on Thursday, Prabhupada did travel on Thursday also. So this is also important to know. So there are indicators in the nature, but we should also know that these indicators are not all in all. They have a place in spirituality. Prabhupada did not emphasize anything overly. Krishna, when he went to Sandipani Muni's Gurukul, and he learned 64 arts, one of those arts was to study the signs in the nature and learn from them. So Krishna learned this art in Gurukul. So what are these indicators? What are these omens? Just like when you travel on the road, and then you see some sign, speed breaker. Sometimes you see like this sign, no? Bulging something on the road. Then you understand a speed breaker is coming. Then what do? We become aware. Now we have to reduce our speed. But sometimes what happens, you see a speed breaker and you reduce your speed considerably. And then you realize, arey, itna chota speed breaker hai. Again release your brake. Right? You don't stop the vehicle and check, arey, kitna dur speed breaker hai. How far is speed breaker? So speed breakers are indicators that something coming in the future, something coming ahead. But that doesn't stop you from going ahead. That doesn't stop you from sitting down there and thinking, what should I do? Should I go or take a right turn and go to another road? No, you keep going. But you may reduce or you may change, alter your speed. But you keep going. That's important. So, these are sign languages in the nature, in the body, in other living entities, which use as indication. And these are part of daiva factor. Now, when a jackal is crying, howling, or the dog is barking, the dog is not thinking, I am barking because something bad is going to come to him. The jackal is not crying, howling, thinking, I am barking or I am howling because something bad is going to come to him. No. They just don't know. They are just working as per the innate nature. There is something from inside, the super soul is guiding them. Now, today you howl in the morning. Because ultimately, who is responsible? Super soul. So, in all our activity, of our destiny, we see the most important factor is Krishna. And Krishna arranges the indicator through many systems. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and some indicators from nature also. Just like modern science has proved that when the earthquake is about to come, no one has any machine to detect an earthquake before it comes. When it comes, the machine detects, oh, earthquake has come, and the Richter scale is this. But before coming, no one detects. But the same modern science has proved, when the earthquake comes, there is a special behavior pattern which happens in dogs, in the honeybees, in some certain animals, that they can understand before an earthquake comes, and therefore people can guess, make a guesswork. So modern science also indicate that animals can, but the animals do not know that earthquake is coming. They know something is, they get some radar influence, something is happening, and they behave differently. But ultimately it's all daiva, the nature it works. So Srila Prabhupada told us that whenever we walk in our life, we are having our journey of our life, the most important factor is not the woman. The most important factor is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever I do, the most important factor is it favorable for my bhakti? Is it unfavorable for bhakti? That's the most important factor which Prabhupada always give pradhanya importance. And all other factors come secondary. So we find here Yudhishthir Maharaj's case. Wonderful. He is seeing bad omens. What is his conclusion? Something bad is going to happen immediately. Why Arjuna has not come after 7 months? Oh, such bad influences. Krishna's pastimes are about to end. Time has come. Is it true? So he is indicating himself. Maybe that. And when Arjuna comes and tells him the reality that Krishna has disappeared, Yudhishthir Maharaj's conclusion is spiritual. What is conclusion? Krishna has gone away. What is the use of me staying here? He retires, gives the kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj, and he goes to Himalaya to practice bhajan. So this is how we can see how even the indicators are accepted by Yudhishthir Maharaj spiritually, and the decisions are also spiritual. This is the understanding behind all these omens which we see. Anyway, the most important factor is, we should know, we are staying in this age of, the great age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga mein toh maloom hi padta nahi kya omen hai, kya achha hai, kya bura hai. Because it is always like that in Kali Yuga. In Dwapar Yuga, sometimes dogs bark at their masters, or jackals cried. In Kali Yuga, they will stop crying and barking because every day they have to cry. It's inauspicious so much. Kali Yuga is an age of inauspiciousness. Kali Yuga is so inauspicious that demigods, they do not even come in Kali Yuga to earth planet. Galti se bhi nahi aate wo log. Other ages, other yugas, they would come. When they do big sacrifice, great yagya. In yagyas, just like when we do yagya, we have 2 chatais for the people who are presiding the yagya. The purohit is also there. But in previous yagyas, they would also keep asan for demigods. Indra's asana, Vayu's asana, or whatever demigods are involved in the yagya, their asana. And after the yagya was done, or during the time when the ahuti is done for a particular demigod, the demigod will appear there and sit on the asana. In today's age, not possible. Demigods don't come down. In today's age, it is so much inauspicious that Mahabharata mentions that demons come from Patal Loka and appear on earth planet in different families because it's favorable for them. Anukulya sankalpa. So before Kali Yuga came, the same Kali gave a darshan of what Kali Yuga is. The Kali came personified as Duryodhan to show what's going to come, how the behavior of everyone will be in the age of Kali. So, we are living in such an inauspicious age, we do not even know what is inauspicious. In today's age, we call it new normal. Something is very bad, what was considered very bad in previous years, has become quite normal. A way of life. So, when Kali Yuga is going so bad, what does Parikshit Maharaj indicate us? Parikshit Maharaj, he allowed Kali Yuga to come to his kingdom. He did not kill Kali Yuga. When Kali Yuga was hitting the cow and troubling the bull, Parikshit Maharaj raised his sword but did not kill Kali Yuga, because he knew Kali Yuga cannot be killed. His time has come. But as long as I am there, I will not allow him. But Parikshit Maharaj gave him 4 places. Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj thought, he scanned Kali Yuga fully. And he remembered all the Shastras. I have heard Kali Yuga is really bad. But I also heard Kali Yuga is good, in sense that anything you do good, even in your mind, it will be counted. Anything you do bad, even if you say by mouth or you think in mind, it won't be counted. And the most important factor is the process of spirituality will become very easy. So Parikshit Maharaj saw, this is a good quality. Because of this quality, I'll give him 4 places. Of course, those 4 places that time did not exist in Parikshit Maharaj's whole kingdom. Can you imagine? A place where no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling and no illicit sex. Beginning of, end of Dwapara, beginning of Kali Yuga, these places were not there. Today these places are everywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. You find this all 4 places in your mobile. Just click button, everything will be done there. So Parikshit Maharaj, even though he allowed Kali Yuga, but it was not a warm welcome. With lot of pretension he allowed Kali Yuga to stay. So we find here that how, when Kali Yuga comes, because it's an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it's an inauspicious age, the great acharyas and supreme personality of Godhead descend in the same Kali Yuga. Why? Because of compassion. We have seen often when we are traveling, and generally people in this age of Kali Yuga, modern people, they are not in a mood of helping. They always are thinking of what I will get, not what I will give. But sometimes when we are traveling, we see people who beg, the beggars come. And some beggars are so much in distress, the way they cry, they look. People who are actually atheists, who do not have any compassion, even they remove money from the pocket and give that beggar. Why? Because the condition of that beggar has attracted even a person who is not willing to give him something. Kuch to dena chahiye. Bahut bura lag raha hai. So Kali Yuga is such a bura age, such a difficult age. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears only in 3 yugas, 3 yugi, decides to still appear in the 4th yuga in a very compassionate way, in a hidden way, to give mercy to Kali Yuga. And he doesn't come alone. He brings all his acharyas. You also come. To deliver these people, we'll require a team. Ek aadmi ka kaam nahi hai. Shyam to mentioning. People, generally Krishna appears in other ages. He comes alone. But when he comes in Kali Yuga, he comes as Panchatattva. Panch Toko leke aaye. Right? When you want to administer medicine to a horse, घोड़े को दवाई खिलाना है, तो एक आदमी का काम नहीं है. There are 5 people involved to make a horse drink a medicine, take a medicine. One is holding the front leg, one is holding the back leg, one is holding the neck, the 4th is opening the mouth, and 5th is putting the medicine. That's when Kali Yuga will require team effort to preach. It's not easy for one person. So Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Parshad. Sango Pangartha Parshadam. So, we find that how Krishna's disappearance here, which is going to come now soon, has also indication of something auspicious coming out. Because when Krishna was about to disappear, all the demigods came to know Krishna is going to leave the earth planet and go back to Goloka. So all the demigods and disguised form came to Krishna and asked, Krishna, you are leaving. What about us? What about people in this earth planet? And Krishna indicated them that soon He will reappear in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see the chronology very nicely fitting the whole scenario. It is said that when Krishna disappeared, that was the time the Kali Yuga appeared on the scene. It was connected. Krishna's disappearance and Kali Yuga's appearance. So what happened? When Krishna disappeared, Kali Yuga appeared. And Veda Vyas came to know that Kali Yuga has appeared. And he very well knew the people in this age of Kali Yuga will be very much with bad qualities. They will have no interest in spirituality. And he thought, let me write all the scriptures, pen them down. So far, scriptures were not penned. They were just heard and remembered, memorized. So Veda Vyas wrote the Vedas and the Puranas. He also wrote among the Puranas, 18 Puranas, he wrote the Bhagavatam also. But Veda Vyas was dissatisfied. He was not happy. Narad Muni came and told him, you wrote so many books, where is that one single book which discusses the philosophy of pure devotional service? Where is that one single book? And Veda Vyas comes to conclusion that I have not given prominence to bhakti in my Puranas. So the very Bhagavatam which he had wrote, he revised that Bhagavatam and made Amala Puran, rewrote the Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam then Vyasdev spoke to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami was the first trained disciple of Vyasdev. Bhagavat came and Bhagavat was given to Sukadeva Goswami. At the same time, after Krishna's disappearance, it is said Arjuna performed the final rites of Dwarka Vasis. And he was coming back with the queens of Dwarka to Hastinapur. While he was coming, some infidel cowherd men, unknown, they attacked Arjuna. Arjuna was a well-known warrior, but he could not oppose those cowherd men. And what happened? This cowherd man defeated Arjuna, and Arjuna was surprised. This cowherd man, they plundered all the wealth he was carrying from Dwarka. And took even the queens of Dwarka away, kidnapped them. So Arjuna was already very disturbed because Krishna had left. And now Arjuna was more disturbed because he could not protect the queens of Dwarka. So there is a beautiful explanation of the Acharyas, mentions that how the queens of Dwarka were kidnapped because a certain curse was there on them. These queens were all, in the previous life, they were all heavenly damsels and they had asked from a great sage, Ashtavakra Muni, that they would like to be the consorts of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ashtavakra Muni was very happy with their service and given them benediction. But Ashtavakra Muni, because he was deformed in his body and he would walk in a peculiar fashion. So, these ladies had laughed at his unique style of walking, and then he became very angry and said, okay, you'll marry your Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you'll be kidnapped by some other people. So they became very alarmed. Oh, we laughed. We got a boon and then we got a curse. So they again served Ashtavakra Muni and said, don't worry, you'll be reunited with your husband. Your husband will come actually to kidnap you in a different form. So Acharya has mentioned Krishna himself came as cowherd man. And he kidnapped all those queens of Dwarka because he didn't want the queens to go to Hastinapur at that time. Instead, the queens later went. They were transferred to the kingdom of Mathura where Vajranab was ruling. So after Yudhishthir Maharaj retired, along with the Pandavas, the whole kingdom was given to Parikshit Maharaj and Vajranab, the last remaining descendant of Yadu dynasty, was given Mathura, charge of Mathura. So he came to Mathura, Parikshit Maharaj came to meet him, and these queens of Dwarka were with him. And Vajranab asked Parikshit Maharaj, what should be done? What should I do with Mathura? It's empty because everyone had gone. So that time it is mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj told Vajranab that there is a great Rishi Shandilya who is here. Let's go and meet him. He has been witnessing Lord Krishna's pastimes. So we'll go and meet him. He will give us indications what we should do in future. So they both go and meet, and Shandili Rishi mentions them the whole Bhagavat, the Braj Bhagavat, the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, and tells Vajranav that he should renovate or re-excavate the whole Vrindavan. The Vrindavan is lost, Krishna has gone away, all the Brajavasis have gone back to Godhead. Reframe Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna has performed pastimes, you create kundas, create tirthas, create temples, establish deities. So based on the advice of Shandilya, then Vajranab Maharaj, he re-excavated the whole Vrindavan, established temples, 4 Krishna deities, 5 Devis, then Lord Shiva deities, all these deities came, 2 Naths. All this came when Vajrana was inspired by Shandilya. And it is said that Parikshit Maharaj was very inspired by this whole thing. And Vajrana Maharaj told Parikshit Maharaj, now that I am doing all this big work, my kingdom is empty. Where is the praja? So Parikshit Maharaj shifted some of his praja from Hastinapur to Braj. And then how Braj again got populated. So it's a beautiful thing which is happening, chronology of Bhagavatam, how it happens here. And then the queens of Dwarka were experiencing pain of separation. But they saw Yamuna, who is also the queen of Krishna, who was always blissful. So they asked, Krishna has left, why you are so blissful? So because Krishna has not left me. Because I am constantly hearing the nectar of Krishna, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we also want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can narrate to us? Uddhava will narrate to you. Where is Uddhava? We do not know. Oh, Uddhava's physical body is in Madhrika Ashram, but his soul, his subtle body, his devotional body is in Braj here. Go to Kusum Sarovar and perform Sankirtan there, and Uddhava will appear and speak Bhagavatam to you. So Uddhava came and narrated Bhagavatam, the queens of Dwarka and Vajranav. Parikshit Maharaj also was sitting there. Vajranav told him, not to you. Why? Why not me? So now, you go around your kingdom. Kali is going around your kingdom and creating disturbance. Catch him and punish him. So, okay. What about my Bhagavatam? Time will come, you will hear Bhagavatam, private Bhagavatam class. Not now. So Parikshit Maharaj leaves that place. And then he goes around searching, and then he finds Kali, who is punishing the cow and the bull. So we can see here that when Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam, that was the same time Uddhava also spoke Bhagavatam to the queens of Dwarka. So Bhagavatam appeared the same time when Krishna disappeared. Why? The reason was Krishna has reappeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna disappeared physically, but he appeared in a sound incarnation as Bhagavatam. The same Krishna again reappears in Kali Yuga as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then gives the most wonderful process of connecting with Krishna, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurating the Sankirtan movement and giving everyone a chance to get deliverance. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is followed by all the great acharyas, the 6 Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamanand Pandit Srinivas Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, and then we come go on, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Srila Prabhupada. They all are coming in line to give us the same holy name in a better access, in a better way, easier way, accessible way. And Srila Prabhupada came, and what was only available in only one particular place, one particular zone or area, has become available all over the world. Before Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna was maybe a household word in some provinces of Bengal, maybe in some remote corners of India, in some holy places. But Srila Prabhupada came and he spread the holy name all around the world, every nook and corner. Yesterday we were hearing beautiful offerings from devotees. Hearing from how devotees prepared so nicely yesterday. I was speaking about how Srila Prabhupada went all over the world and gave Krishna consciousness. We have ISKCON temples now, ISKCON centers now, ISKCON devotees from all over the world. All we have to do is just ask someone. We have many groups now. I am part of some WhatsApp groups. And sometimes you, one devotee is going to Shimla. Any devotee there? And immediately someone replies their contact number. He may go to Shimla for a vacation, but there is devotee giving prasadam also there. Vacation kora prasad below. one of our boys is going for education in Canada, some place corner, naam bhi suna nahi. You ask in the group, immediately someone says, this one devotee there, he has a restaurant, you get prasadam, you get association of devotees on Sundays. It is so easy now to get association of devotees. How it is possible? Srila Prabhupada's greatness, that he has made Hare Krishna very accessible all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, he is reenacting Krishna's pastimes. How we say that? Because if you see, Krishna lifted Govardhan and gave shelter to all the Brajavasis for 7 days and seven nights. If you see, Krishna lifted Govardhan to give shelter, Srila Prabhupada lifted another Govardhan. Govardhan of ISKCON temple, ISKCON centers. All over the world there are Govardhans and their ashray for devotees who are staying in that area, in that zone, to come and take shelter of that Govardhan, to associate with devotees, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to take shelter of the holy names and take prasad. Prabhupada said in one lecture that in previous ages we have to do so much austerity to achieve perfection. We have to sit in fire and experience the heat, and then we can do some meditation on Supreme Lord. Prabhupada said, this is not required. And even if it is there, who will do it? Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give a simple process. Chanting, dancing and feasting. And Prabhupada said that, everyone in the lecture said, Hari Bol. And Prabhupada said, still they will not do it. Chanting, dancing and feasting. Simple thing. Who doesn't like chanting, dancing and feasting? Everyone likes. You see any event happening in today's world, material event, they will have chanting means gana. Dancing means bhajana or nachana. And feasting, khana. Everything you have in today's event, any party has eating, drinking, dancing and eating. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, Srila Prabhupada's greatness, this whole process is spiritualized. Even devotees come together, then they chant, they do kirtan, they dance. Prabhupada said, chant and dance, when you're tired, take prasad. It's very easy. Feasting is difficult, feasting is great. And as soon as feasting comes, then two questions come. What is the menu and what is the venue? So such an important process, the process is the essence of everything. The scripture is mentioned about Sankirtanam, but the same Sankirtan is so appealing because of Srila Prabhupada's greatness that even in this modern age people come take part of Sankirtan. I was told yesterday more than 2,000 people came to take prasadam. Half of them, I don't know half of them. But we have very few devotees who we could recognize. You know, they are very Hare Krishna loge loge. Many of them were, kone lo, kahan se aaye? Who are they? People still come. Before our devotees get the news that there is a program happening, sometimes devotees say, are program taluk mandir mein kya? Mujhe malum nahi. But people get news and they come. Festival, Radhashtami, 4,000 devotees, 4,000 people came. So even today also is appealing. People come to take prasadam, to take part in kirtan, dance. I don't know whether demigods come here to take prasad and to dance with devotees here. But nonetheless, people are attracted to this movement. So it's Prabhupada's genius that Prabhupada has created an auspicious atmosphere within the inauspicious atmosphere of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada said our temples are like Vaikunthas. Kuntha means misery. Vaikuntha means no misery. Just like Krishna gathered everyone from Kuntha. In Vrindavan there was Kuntha. Indra was throwing rains on them. Pralaya Badal. Pralaya. Samvartaka. Not ordinary rains. Huge torrential rains. Krishna gathered everyone under Govardhan. And that Govardhan was cool. Govardhan was like an auditorium. Sometimes you go to auditorium, sit down, let the drama happen, sit down, no endeavor. AC is also on. So Krishna created an AC auditorium under Govardhan. Sometimes you say, Prabhu, AC auditorium nahi chahiye. Someone may say, AC means too cold. But Krishna's auditorium was such a wonderfully centrally AC that everyone had their unique temperature on their head. You want very cold temperature, it will get cold. You want no middle temperature, medium temperature. They were all happy. So much so that auditorium, that Govardhan auditorium under Govardhan, 7 days, 7 nights, no one felt any hunger, no thirst, no fatigue. Can you imagine? Special auditorium. So Krishna arranged an auditorium, Krishna arranged a shelter under Govardhan, people came running inside to take shelter. Srila Prabhupada has arranged his corn temple. We are all doing our duties outside in the material world. We have to go out, preach or work, purchase, do so many things. And we come in contact with the material world, there is so much of problem, so much of anxieties come. And they don't come announced, they will not announce and come, they will come unannounced. And when those anxieties come, then we are tormented. Where will we go? So Prabhupada has built a shelter here. Come here, under this Govardhan. Chant, dance and feast with devotees. And again get revived and go back to the material world and do your duties. And then what? Come again. Go again, come again. Keep coming and going. So this is what we can learn from this unique translation and purport about bad omens. That we don't have to worry about bad omens in Kali Yuga because Kali Yuga is full of bad omens. We have to worry about what is good in Kali Yuga. And what is good in Kali Yuga? The only thing good in Kali Yuga is we got a chance to associate with devotees and participate in this moment of Sankirtan, chant, dance and take prasad. If we can do these three things and learn the art of Krishna consciousness, we can easily, what do we say, cross across this ocean of birth and death. Then I just want to one small thing which I just suddenly remembered. One devotee was mentioning very beautiful in this class that we have to learn the art of tolerance in this age of Kali Yuga. Very important because in this age of Kali Yuga, things will always go wrong. If you are prepared, that it will always go wrong. And if it goes right, we should be happy. It went right. Wow. So one has to be tolerant. So this devotee was mentioning, someone asks you, how are you? You say, I am fine. But if someone is sad, you ask, how are you? He may not even reply also. He may not even ask also, how are you? How are you to him? Or sometimes people are in a bad state of life, but they are so used to saying, I am fine, that even when someone is lying on a bed in a hospital with these two, both the legs top on, hanged with a big fracture, how are you, sir? I am fine. Because of constantly saying I am fine, we always say I am fine, even though we are not fine. As you would have mentioned, we should tolerate. Tolerance means we should say I am fine when happiness is there, and when happiness is not there, we should say I am paying fine. This material world is all about paying our fine for all the bad karmas we do. We happily pay our fine, happily go through the bad ordeal, but at the same time, execute our Krishna consciousness, keep in touch with devotees, come to the Govardhan of ISKCON, take shelter here, and then practice chanting, dancing and feasting. And in this way, as Srila Prabhupada says, just practice Krishna consciousness throughout your life, and you will achieve perfection in this very life. हरे कृष्ण। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। हरे
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.